Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, as well as 1798Part2.org, as well as RepublicReview.org. You are listening to the only show that will give you the formula in getting the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution. And so the number to call in is 215-867-8255. Another thing I always do is I like to grovel a little. And so if you want to get involved, if you're a patriot, if you happen to be a real red state listener and you understand what the heck's going on, there are ways for you to get involved, and it's really not that difficult. All you've got to do is send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic. You can also hit me up on Facebook if you don't want to get your email out there. I do not use emails. As a matter of fact, I used to actually send out the Town Crier News and the Town Crier Intel for a long time, and I used email as a medium. And I get the fact that most people do not like getting a lot of unwanted email. So I really only send correspondences directly to people. That way, you know, you're not going to get spammed or anything else if you send me an email, because I know that there's people that do the newsletters and things like that. And I really, really, if I ever do that, it may be once a year. It is so sparing. So, I mean, I get it if you're apprehensive in sending an email. But again, you can find me as G.R. Mobley on Facebook, or you can go to the Mobius Strip Press page, MobiusStripPress on Facebook, and you can just like that page, and you can kind of get engaged at that point, messaging me or messaging the Mobius Strip Press page. Either way, that's one way of getting a hold of me. Another thing you can do is you can join the Constitution Club on constitutionclub.ning.com, and you can get involved there. Of course, you will be providing some personal information regarding, you know, who you are, your email, and that type of stuff. But that way, you can actually be involved in sending emails to state legislators in pleading and begging them to do their job and to start stepping up. There are way too many state legislators that are just literally rubber stamps for the federal and the UN agenda. That's why you find that the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 is literally just being rolled along, and there's very little resistance. And they keep getting away with passing unconstitutional laws. So that's why I've and the Mobius Strip Press page and those of us who are supporting this are literally pressing state legislators in passing a bill that forces all laws, regulations, codes, policies, and so forth, that they must be compliant with the U.S. Constitution as well as the state constitution. And in doing that, we're hoping that they will actually, you know, kick off, you know, their own quest in trying to define precisely what, literally, what is on their books that is violating the Constitution. Because as those things start surfacing, they'll be able to say, hey, this thing is null and void. We can't have laws that contradict the supreme law of the land or our own state supreme law of the state. So anyway, by all means, like I said, just send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we will get you engaged. And prior to the show, as I always do, I actually looked to find out if there was anything, any sign whatsoever that the federal government is disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Nope, no such luck. So what that means is you and I, we're going to have to do it. I hope you're up for it, because it may be a tough row to hoe, but it's really not as tough as you think. I mean, I've been doing a lot all by myself, and you'd be surprised how much you can really help. I can tell you that there's those that are getting involved that are really blown away with exactly how much help they're really getting. So with that, let me just kind of move on, because there is kind of some interesting stuff. But just remember, the week of the 17th, I'm going to have a lot of really informative interviews. So you want to tune in and catch the Mitchell Gerber update. You'll want to catch the Aaron Tilbury update that week, as well as Keith Broders and what he's got going with the Constitution Club and those efforts in 2019, hitting the 2019 sessions around the states. And we'll have Mark Erbach on as well, talking really about something that's been near and dear to my heart, what the heck's been going on in our school and this whole national secularism. I'm not sure of how many people were engaged in watching the services for President George H.W. Bush. I didn't have much time today, so I will probably have to digest either the condensed version or watch it later on. But I myself am going to hold off on my personal tribute to the passing president. And so with that, that'll probably happen in January, just out of respect for the family, those who are mourning and so forth. I don't want to necessarily try to get, you know, kick people while they're down or anything like that. I'm not trying to kick anything. I'm literally just trying to get what I perceive are very important facts that really people do not understand and know, and why, you know, I think it's time we start waking up and we start looking at these people as men, and they are, you know, they're no different than you and I. They're just, you know, they're easily corruptible. And the fact is that, you know, there is very few men that step into the fray that can withstand the corruption and the evil that is literally leveled upon them. I mean, if you've watched the movie The Swamp, go to Northwest Grassroots. They have a condensed movie of all four parts of that. I think it's from CRTV. But if you watch that, you'll actually see how they make it impossible for almost anybody and everybody that goes to DC not to get corrupted. And I remember it wasn't that way before. So when did they start getting into this selling your state legislators downriver and literally owning them? I don't know. I'd like to have somebody kind of do a good academic study on the transition of Congress as they've gone down this path. But anyway, you'll find that staffers have a little bit more say than the congressmen, or at least so they think. Anyway, some other things to talk about, or actually think about. Let me give you this to think about. Since the very beginning in 2017, I have been saying, when President Trump got inaugurated almost 2 years ago, I said that he needs to fire everybody. He needs to completely rebuild the bureaucracy, just due to the fact of how many people and how deep those institutions have been penetrated by very evil operators. Now, we're only seeing the top bad players actually, you know, step aside. Now, the question is, with this latest FBI retirement by Bill Priestap, I'm kind of curious as to whether Priestap is actually prepped his replacement, who may have hardly any dirt on them, but be just equally as corruptible and equally as corrupt. And the fact is, the deep state is not leaving fast enough. I mean, Trump should have cleaned house. He should have literally said, you know, we've got new standards, a new sheriff's in town, and boom, literally started going down the path of cleaning house. But no, unfortunately, we're still digging out this deep state. And I don't know if we'll ever dig it out fast enough. Because in all honesty, Trump is halfway through his presidency for his first term. He should be well on the way of moving his agenda forward and everything else that he is doing, if you understand what I'm saying. And so I'm having a hard time understanding what the heck is going on, or why is it that Mr. Trump, President Trump, is not getting it done. And I understand that there is a lot of barriers, paper, red tape, whatever you want to call it, But nevertheless, he is the president, and he can fire those who he wants to fire and replace those. Clean house, literally get rid of departments altogether, and create a whole new department or within these unconstitutional departments. And that's the biggest thing. If Trump really wants to get rid of the deep state, he'd figure out Republic Review and then literally just say, you know what, come to the states and say, get rid of this swamp. You guys have the power to actually scoop it up and get rid of it. Do it. I'll help you. I'll protect you. But based on what I'm going to tell you today regarding this U.S.-Mexican deal, some details on it, I'm not convinced anymore that, you know, I know he's fighting it, and I don't know if this is a facade or what. I mean, America has been manipulated for so many years, it's really hard to tell when we got a real, honest answer from our federal government. So let me dig into this. Trump's new USMCA, which, kind of like the USMC, United States Marine Corps, but the A stands for U.S., Mexico, and Canada Agreement, has been literally steeped, and this is what I'm hearing from a lot of good analysts, that this is really steeped in the United Nations Sustainable Development Program that is based on global warming alarmism as well as global governance. These people are literally trying to push us quickly into a global governance state. And so, we've got a lot more to cover on this. I've just literally started covering it, so please stay tuned, and I'm going to get into some more nuts and bolts on this USMCA agreement. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
And so as I was just covering the USMCA and letting you know that on the surface, this really seems like something that is more steeped in something that supports the UN Sustainable Development and the 2020 Agenda 21-2030. And so, again, this sustainable development is being implemented at the local level while UN Agenda 2030 implements are literally going into the world government on the international level. And it also comes across as the Agenda 21 will take resources. Now, some of these things that they're implementing at the local level will take resources. And I've talked about this before. What kind of resources? These resources, like your water, like your trees, like energy and so forth, because the Pacific Northwest literally dumps water into the ocean because we have all of these, this hydroelectric power that, you know, we don't need to store all of this. So they have to prep because of all the rain season and so forth. We have an excess of water that we could easily generate into electricity. And we could create a real glut in the springtime for the entire nation by just throwing a lot of electricity on the wire, by just literally opening these things up full bore and allowing these turbines to run 24/7. Well, another thing we could do with this water is we could actually start, you know, shipping it, because if you've ever heard of the California Aqueduct, that literally goes up to Lake Shasta, which is in the very northern part of California. And it's equal distance from Shasta to LA and San Diego as it would be to the Columbia Basin and some of these other great Klamath River and some of these other great river sources. They could easily pump all this water that is literally just being dumped during certain times of the year. We could start pumping all this water to going into Lake Shasta, into that reservoir, and keeping that basically at full to the brim. And in doing so, they'll never really run out of water, because I've yet to see, even during dry phases up here, they still run off an excess of water. But the whole point is that this Agenda 21 will identify and label resources that, like I'm saying, are completely abundant, and they make them appear to be scarce, and they actually start ordering, rationing, and that's what they've been doing in California. There's plenty of water technically in California, but if California keeps on growing and growing and growing, and the consumption, just like Arizona has a problem, and so does some of these, Nevada has a problem. They just don't have enough water for all the people that are moving there, because they actually live in the desert in Nevada. So this aqueduct would be a great way of being able to share resources where they're overly abundant and be able to make sure that the people can thrive and be productive in these other areas. Well, you see, nobody wants to talk about that. You don't even hear state legislators trying to have these conversations. Why? Because then they can have, you know, if they could keep controls to them, and then they can kind of, you know, make more money off of them, because you got to understand that these are sources of revenue. If we just give water away, then all of a sudden, you know, it just cheapifies the whole thing. But right now, everybody, how much do you pay for water? You're paying for water, and the crap falls from the sky. And oh, most states are passing laws that say you can't harvest rainwater. You can't use, you know, what do they call those, the barrels on your downspouts and so forth. So in the springtime, in the summertime, you can use that water for help water in your victory gardens and so forth. That's where they're going. They're trying to make sure that you are limited with all of these laws, and they're taking away your ability to be as productive as you can be. Why are they doing that? Because they're trying to force you into the concrete jungle and living on the resources that they give you. It is really not about saving the planet. It is about taking over the planet and moving people into literally concrete jungles and making them dependent. Because if you're living out and owning the land, you actually have wealth. The framers completely understood the whole point of wealth. And this, I brought this up in a meeting last night, that one of the greatest ways of stealing wealth is literally passing ex post facto laws. This Hearst decision and all of these water laws that they're passing are ex post facto laws that are literally making something that was completely illegal when you bought your property, being able to put a well on it, and now telling you can't have a well on it because there's not enough water, when there actually is. And it doesn't matter. It's an ex post facto law. The Constitution keeps them from doing that. They want to start passing ex post facto laws, amend the Constitution. That's the only process and only way they can do it. If not, they're violating the Constitution, and they should be arrested and tried for treason because they're violating our supreme law of the land. That is the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, and Article 1, Section 10. So both states and federal government are constrained and restricted from passing ex post facto laws. You've got to understand this. We have to start using the Constitution as our weapon and as our shield. So anyway, Trump's new agreement advances this UN, like I said, this sustainable development. And the word sustainable is all over in this document in Chapter 24. The environmental section of the UCMCA treaty, even though Trump says that he is against control by the United Nations and he doesn't believe in climate change, this is a vehicle of giving them control. So, in other words, something's not adding up. Something's not making sense. So, is this a sleight of hand? The point of the new agreement is to change the governing structure from the United States, from literally what we understand as a constitutional republic with representatives who legislate on the behalf of us citizens, and they're moving it and putting it into the hands and control of unelected bureaucrats, international bureaucrats, sitting on these international boards and commissions to rule over us as they centralize us into a one-world government. These new international committees will supersede Congress, and they're going to try to supersede our Constitution if we let them. Remember, I've been telling you that the whole message needs to be getting to the state legislators. This is important. The state legislators need to understand that they have the power to take control and literally rip this kind of crap out of Washington's hands. The president has no business doing this type of stuff. They don't have the authority to do this. Even if they pass this as a treaty, this actually violates the Constitution. And now we have a conflict. It's just like the 17th Amendment violates the Constitution, because in Article 5, it creates a conflict of those states who have rejected or failed to ratify, did not give their consent. So they're not held to that new standard of general elections. Those states, and we've talked about this before, those states can literally and constitutionally. So what do you do when the Constitution says this and another part of the Constitution says this, whether it's an amendment or a treaty? Which do you follow? Do you understand? Are you going to follow the part of the Constitution that serves you? Or are you going to follow the Constitution that serves them? Because with the 17th Amendment, the 17th Amendment actually serves democracy and centralizing government. But Article 5 protects the states from such an amendment. And that's why I believe Article 5 trumps the 17th Amendment. Now, with this whole thing of this treaty, with this USMCA treaty, if this actually gets passed, what are we going to do? Does this trump actually the ability of creating ex post facto laws? Because I'm telling you right now, you cannot create an ex post facto law. And if they come along and say, oh, well, we have this treaty and now we can start creating these laws from these bureaucracies, I'm telling you right now that the Article 1, Section 9 and Article 1, Section 10 restricting states and restricting the federal government from being able to impose ex post facto laws on us will trump that treaty. Because they have, if they're going to make a treaty, they actually have to say, we are negating these things within the Constitution. That's what they have to do in amendment. They have to negate that. And that's why I believe the fools back in 1911, when they started this 17th Amendment fiasco, they didn't understand Article 5. They didn't understand the Amendment Protection Clause. And so they had no clue what they were doing, and they didn't know that that us in these days could actually wake up and go, hold it. Did these guys realize that these states that reject it? And, oh, by the way, now that the fact that the federal government has even opened the gate of allowing states to change their position on the amendment, as far as I'm concerned, every state that has ratified that, that wants to take back their sovereignty, should rescind the 17th Amendment. I think this would send literal shockwaves in waking up a lot of people regarding the supreme law of the land, that no, just because your nameplate is on a door doesn't mean you're king. That Constitution means a lot more than anybody's name and all collective names together. So anyway, back to this USMCA agreement. Accountants, engineers, lawyers, doctors, architects, researchers, and every other business type of professional will be allowed to flood into the United States to take over jobs in the U.S., which has already got employment problems. We've already got a brain strain here. And Americans who are homeless, well, it's not going to get better for them either. Well, so I'm at a hard break. So let me finish up on this USMCA agreement when we get right back. Thank you so much.
Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Yes. And so let me move on with this USMCA agreement. I know I've had Tom DeWeese on this show, and Tom DeWeese travels the nation talking about the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 stuff. He tries to educate people exactly how these UN bureaucrats are being emplaced within your local governments, within your city, within your county governments, and so forth. And they're all over the place. As a matter of fact, there's a website out there that actually will give you a good, I mean, they're pretty transparent. They're out right in your face telling you what they're trying to do. And so Tom DeWeese has been on the record for actually talking about the goals of the United Nations and this whole sustainable development program. He just released a book. You've got to read this book about this. And this program is literally out to take away our sovereignty and our liberty. It's taking away our private property, which is one of our best mechanisms of wealth and wealth development in this country. This also includes control over your body and mind, because they're actually implementing more doctrine and dogma that go into the schools, as well as what you can eat and what you can do. This is a very insidious program, this Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. And as I see it, NAFTA was a real bad deal. And as a matter of fact, it was such a bad deal that they had to get the Democrats to pass it. I will tell you, and you know, this is going to come up, but it just so happens that this is George H.W. Bush that did this. But I will tell you, if you read The Dark Majesty, you will find that there was a reason why George Bush actually fell, or I should say lost that election. They had to bring in Ross Perot to basically take enough of the conservative vote away from Bush to give the election to Clinton. Clinton, I think, won the election with 39% of the popular vote. And that's because Bush came up with, I think, 29 or 30-something, and I think Perot almost got 20%. And so it was that close. It was that close. And so that's why they had to bring Perot in the second time, because Dole would have been able to backstroke beating Clinton as well, because Clinton still didn't get 50% of the popular vote. I think it was like 42 or something like that. The whole point is that NAFTA would not have been passed because of a Democratic-controlled Congress. They needed it to be introduced by a Democratic administration. And that is why President Bush was cheering for President Clinton, that he could move the globalist agenda forward. And he took one for the team. And when I mean the team, the globalist team. And I'm really sorry. I'm not, this is not my tribute. I'm just giving you historical facts. There is so much evidence that proves that NAFTA had to come out from a Democratic president, because they had no clue when the Republicans would be able to take the House again. And so they wanted and they needed this globalist agreement to start moving forward. And I'll just tell you this, that as this moves forward, and the bottom line on this USMCA agreement, this is far worse. I believe that this is a bad deal. And fortunately, it requires 2/3 of the Senate to actually pass this deal. So Trump supporters out there who are pointing to him by removing removing the U.S. from the Paris Accord, the TPP, some of this UN migration compacts and some of these other treaties and so forth. They're out there still, you know, waving the flag saying, hey, Trump is still against this new world order. Well, this has got his fingerprints all over it. So whether or not this is a deal that will move forward, and whether there's some good explanations of what's, you know, why this deal is coming down the way it is, this is the first real deal under his watch. And so it's, like I said, it's got his blood, it's got his DNA, and it's not boding well for our republic, this particular deal. So I will just say this, that I know Friday morning last week, in looking at how this deal came forward, this is what Trump said. Trump praised the agreement, saying that it's truly a groundbreaking achievement, describing it specifically, quote, the largest, most significant, modern, and balanced trade agreement in history. However, he failed to point out how this will erode American sovereignty. It seems like we have a very important message that needs to be sent to the Senate, that no more trade deals are to be done, that we need to deal with each country one-on-one. No more group, NAFTA, centralized treaties, or anything like that. We need to refuse dealing with the EU. We need to refuse dealing with any Asian pacts, any other pacts out there. We need to get back to trading with every country one-on-one, because it gives us all the power. And they know that. And if they get us into this this NAFTA-like or USMCA pact, then it's going to be all over. So I'm hoping that a part of the message that goes out to the state legislators, I hope you and everyone getting out there telling your state legislators that each state needs to ensure that they send a clear message to the Senate, because it's the state legislators who should be driving the Senate's agenda. And I'm telling you this, I believe that this may be just the fulcrum that we need to get the state legislators to really consider rescinding the 17th Amendment. Because, you know, as the state legislators, they go to the, you know, they ping their senators and say, hey, Senator so-and-so, because they got two of them. And they say, we don't want you to vote for this. And then they come back and they give some excuses. No, we do not want you to vote. And if they vote, then they'll have to look at each other right there on this on the state floor and go, you know what, we got a problem. We've got senators that are not listening to us, and we can't take this anymore. They're selling us downriver. And so that's when, if you really, before they vote on this treaty, I would like to see a couple of states actually vote to rescind their treaty and to withdraw the election process of senators. See how they like that. I believe that that needs to be a very clear and defined message for the U.S. Senate. You know, I know I'm painting a target on myself here, because those with power do not like people that rock the boat. And you're not going to find anybody on the air that understands the Constitution well enough, unfortunately, to really rock the boat. Anybody that's out there championing and pounding their chest for an Article 5 convention, I'm sorry, they don't understand the Constitution, because the Constitution doesn't need fixing. The Constitution needs enforcement. And those people that are capable of enforcing it are the state legislators. And that's why those people don't get it. So, as you know, the real focus here is to really get people to actually start thinking and actually drive the change in reclaiming our republic and restoring our Constitution, as well as our state constitutions and a republican form of government. So with that, let me kind of meander through. And actually, before I do, because we still got this thing of immigration. We have a real problem that is out there. So I want to read Article 4, Section 4 for you. The United States shall guarantee to every state, this is the U.S. Constitution, right? The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislators of the executive, when the legislators cannot be convened, against domestic violence. And so here we go. Here is another message that needs to be sent to our state legislators to ask the federal government to enforce this protection. Actually, ask the president, because the president just needs to execute the laws of the land. And so if Wyoming and Utah and Arizona and some of these other state legislators who still may be red enough to actually, you know, speak up, I believe in Oklahoma, Texas, any of these state red states, they need to basically go to the president. The state legislators need to go to the president and say, we want you to enforce the law of the land. Protect us. If you can't build the wall there, then come here. Put on every road that goes into their state, put themselves a little border patrol office so that they can make sure that no illegal aliens are coming into their state. They should protect every state in the union, because that's what it says here, and shall protect each of them against invasion. We've got to start stepping up. We've been in, the invasion began a long time ago. It began before Reagan, and they convinced Reagan to compromise and give everybody amnesty that they would fix the problem, and they didn't. And the Democratic Party gained. And so every step that we go and every step that we continue, they seem to be, the Republicans seem to be the party of compromise. The states can't do this. They cannot afford to continue to allow the national Republicans to compromise away our sovereignty. It is time that we start sending clear messages. I will be right back after this message. Thank you so much.
It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Yes, and so I think that there's a lot of communication that needs to be done, and that communication really needs to start being very focused on our state legislators. If we do not communicate clearly, and we cannot be splattering the message of you've got to stop abortion and all these other things, this is where Republic Review, and the message should just be this, that they need to get compliance of the federal government. The federal government needs to comply to the Constitution. And they go, well, how do we do that? And you tell them, audit the Constitution and call for Republic Review. It is that simple. That simple. Audit the Constitution and call for Republic Review. There's lots of other little sub-messages that you can send, but that has to be the number one priority. If we get them to actually comply to the Constitution, then they will actually stop these invasions. They will actually stop these refugee UN demands of repopulating the earth with a bunch of bad players. We have to take back our sovereignty or we will lose our liberty. It is that simple. Now, as bad as things are, I just want to, you know, I know last week I really spoke a lot about the education system and how bad it is. But if you haven't heard, apparently in August or sometime this past summer, there was a gentleman, Mr. Arroyo, 24-year-old man, who was murdered by five teens. And Virginia has actually used the lynching charges against these five teens. Two of these kids are actual teenagers. They're 17-year-old, and they said that they will be tried as adults because of the way they went after this person with extreme prejudice of killing him. And so when I say extreme prejudice, I mean they were out to kill him. It wasn't a racist type of thing, even though, you know, there could have been racism. This could be a hate crime as well. But the whole point is that we have literally young people coming out of our school system. And how long have these kids been out of school? A year, two, three? And they're already diving down the depths of depravity, of taking life and robbing and so forth. This is a gold star for our education system. When you start seeing the results of what these kids are doing that are coming, they do not want to see kids be successful. They want to see a greater percentage of kids becoming more indolent, more dependent, and actually bad players. They want to create mayhem because the ends justify the means. You've got to understand that. And that's why our kids are the useful idiots that they are counting on in winning this next revolution. Now, one of the things that I do like is the fact that the sovereigns in Wisconsin actually woke up, and they actually, because they knew they were going to get a Democratic governor that was probably going to do some real damage to, you know, the liberties and sovereignty of the people of that state, they actually stepped in and they weakened the governor's powers. And I believe more states need to do this. If you understand the president's powers or the governor's powers, they should only be able to faithfully execute the laws and then to administer, you know, relations with and, you know, seek treaties and agreements or what have you, foreign affairs or, you know, interstate affairs, that type of stuff. But other than that, they should not be able to drive agendas. We've got to stop executives from being able to do that. Executives should lead, but they shouldn't be able to drive agendas like what Obama was doing and what Bush was doing and what Clinton was doing and what Bush was doing and so forth. So one of the things that to build off of that Article 4, Section 4, the guarantee clause or the stopping of the invasion, we've talked about this before, but I want to get into some details. When you really look at the closing of the border, this whole concept that Trump had brought up, who has the constitutional authority over the foreign affairs and foreign relations? Where does that lie within the Constitution? That lies within the executive. He has the power to set those types of relations. He has the power to basically say, we're shutting down relations with Mexico. And he should. He should shut the border down, and then Congress and the president can literally start having a conversation of what to do about refugees. And as far as, you know, the judges trying to step in, they can't. This is a constitutional power that the president has. This is not an EO. This is literally his power granted him in the Constitution. I think he would probably execute this as an executive order, but it definitely falls underneath him. And he's going to have a problem if he doesn't do this now, because the Democratic Congress or the House, when they come in, they're going to try to stop him. They're going to try to violate the separations of power and step in and say, you can't do this. We're opening up the border. And I believe this will take it. This will become another fight. And this will probably be a win for the president and a loss for Congress on violating the separations of power. The states need to be stepping up, and the state legislators, if the states are calling up and saying, you need to protect each of us from this invasion, not just California, not just Mexico and so forth. You have to protect all of us. And in doing that, I think that would resonate. And that really drives this whole thing that the president has to act. He has to do his job. There is no other way around it. Now, if you have been also following this this whole Brexit thing, it seems like there's a lot of sleight of hands and there's a lot of shenanigans. There are politicians that are pulling the bait and switch like Theresa May. And so I am not sure. I think the people of the world, like, you got to laugh at what's going on in France. You know, here they said, okay, we're going to be green. And you'd think that everybody in France wants to be green and start having these carbon taxes. And so as soon as they applied the carbon taxes in just one little area, apparently, there's a whole bunch of people in that area that were pretty upset with the rise in cost of gas. It literally was affecting them. And so that's what happens when these politicians actually take a move and they actually start affecting them. Remember I said Aristotle says when people can't feed or eat anymore, then they begin to revolt. And when people have to choose whether they're going to be putting food on their plate or gas in their car, then they start to get upset and they start revolting, protesting, and so forth. And so it's very common. You will always see that type of thing. And so when we start looking at these other policies, even though they may be innocuous, they start adding up. California created this tax, I believe, on bags, paper bags, plastic bags, and so forth. Washington is now entertaining that same concept. I don't know if Oregon has done it, but there's enough stupid states that have done this that why is it that France is actually rioting and causing damage and doing bad behavior in the streets when they were the rollover nation, you know, for the World War I, World War II, and so forth? And America always had the backbone. What happened to America's DNA of standing up for principles? Because we're being rolled over and rolled over with more and more stupid government and more laws, and they're taking away our wealth and our ability to provide for ourselves, our liberty, our sovereignty. What else does it take to wake people up? Somebody's been peeing in the gene pool. That's all I've got to say, because we do not have the same genetics. We don't have the same backbone. And I'm hoping that some of you listening will actually start saying, you know what, I've got to take a backbone. This is absolutely true. I'm being affected. My ability, my purchasing power is going down year after year after year. Now, those people in government, maybe their purchasing power isn't going down because they've got the unions and all of these other things that are protecting them. But the rest of us, and the government's only a small part of this. And I will tell you that I think America is getting ready and ripe for a lot of people getting really upset. So before you get upset, why don't you just take the initiative and say, I'm going to get involved now before I get really upset. I'm going to start working and we can methodically get this done relatively quick. And when I say relatively quick, I'm hoping by the 2020, we actually start to see the wave rising. We see the beginning of the smoke on the landscape, that a fire is coming, and that we literally do this massive shutdown, this massive grab for our liberty and sovereignty and take back the Constitution. We can do this. We literally have the time, but we only have so much time. Time is not infinite. It is finite. And I've been trying to tell you, and I've been trying to give you this evidence that is more than plentiful, that we only have a few more years left. So I pray that as you start ruminating and cogitating on what you're going to do and how you're going to act, maybe you can start with an email to info@reclaimingtherepublic, or maybe you can hit me up on Facebook and reach out and let me know what can I do. I'll be happy to have you aboard as a leader. We will, and I'm G.R. Mobley, and we're taking back this republic. God bless. I'll be back tomorrow.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google Donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities,
responsibilities and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to ReclaimingTheRepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty.